We hear again from Paul's letter of Romans, chapter 10. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandment shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. In the name of Jesus. Paul closes many of his letters with grace be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. 2 Corinthians 13. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Galatians 6. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 6. And there's plenty more. Just go and read the rest of Paul's letters. Grace to you, he says. The apostle does not want us, he does not want the church to miss the gift of Christ's grace with us, among us. But then turn your eyes from Paul's letters to outside your front window. Look near and far. The neighbor child being told he can't hug his friends at school and he has to wear a mask at the store. We don't know the depths of the uncertainty that that child might feel, but it sure doesn't seem like grace among us. The ICU nurses in some of our cities working weeks on end without a day off. Do we know how the joy of their job seems so distant now, the fatigue? The neighbor arguing with neighbor over whether the government is too strict or not strict enough. Maybe this pandemic is not as serious as the governor thinks, or maybe it has the potential to overpower our ICUs even more than the governor knows. Do we know the severity of how this is tearing at the fabric of our society? Wouldn't it be better if neighbors were arguing about fun things, like whether the Broncos are better than the Cowboys or country music better than rock? It sure doesn't seem like grace is dwelling among us. We hope, of course, there's a quick answer given by researchers, by doctors, by scientists. Perhaps a vaccine will make it so that that boy can again play flag football and the girl can have a sleepover with friends. But even if we come up with a quick answer to protect from the virus, will that help protect families from rioters and looters? How will that reconcile society and rescue from those who want to play skin color against skin color? It doesn't seem like grace is dwelling among us. The families in Beirut, the thousands of homes and businesses lost, not to mention lives, to an explosion, and then we hear that the explosion was caused by simple human error, not by some great conspiracy of malice or some crime, but a simple human error of storing chemicals wrongly. It's not just the threat of virus that we can attack maybe with medical technology, or the threat of those who set skin color against skin color. It's also the threat of simple, common human error, it seems. How do we get away from something like that? It does not seem like grace dwelling among us. So how do we get Jesus into this picture? The sickness and fears in the fallen world, how to bring Jesus along with us so that we have what Paul calls the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. 2 Corinthians 13. If we want to find Jesus, Paul tells us, don't try to somehow spiritually go up into heaven. Don't say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Romans 10:6. Christ, we know, is indeed in heaven, but that is not where he gives himself to be found by us. Or, says St. Paul, do not say in your heart, who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Romans 10:7. That would be as if Christ is not resurrected and now we're fearful of everything around us. In this fallen world, how do we get Jesus into the picture? And Paul lets us know that we don't. He comes to us. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Christ Jesus comes to us in our world by his word. Not in our spiritual strivings, not in us trying to reach him up in heaven, not in pious emotions or decisions we make. He comes to us, pure grace, in his word. His word of gospel proclaimed in the church. His word bestowed by the promise of baptism. His word of mercy spoken to a child living in uncertainty, to a nurse exhausted by what she has seen. His word spoken in the family at evening prayer. His word, Christ Jesus comes to us, not up in heaven, not down in the grave, says Paul, but now, in our world, where we are with each other. Christ Jesus is here with us in his word. In our world then, around us, where everyone seems at least a little off balance and struggling to cope with the effects of a pandemic, there is not one person, not among us who have been gathered into the church, not with our neighbor who maybe does not yet know the consolation of the gospel, there is not one person our Lord does not desire to hear his word of grace. For, as Paul gives it, the scripture says, everyone who has faith in Christ will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not had faith? How are they to have faith in him of whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without a preacher? Romans 10:14. Of those suffering with family maybe in the hospital, of those uncertain of arrangements at school, of those shaken by the job market, of those living in fear because of the riots and the looting, of those in Beirut wondering how they will ever rebuild, of those with any brokenness in family or any pain in marriage, of all of us and our neighbor, east and west, old man and infant in the arms, is there anyone to whom the Lord does not want to give his name in baptism? Anyone to whom Jesus does not want to come in his word? Anyone living in fear to whom our Lord Jesus in his grace does not want to give the gift of faith through the preaching of the word? There is no distinction, Paul says, between any person. No one left out. No one to be left without the promise and the hope of the gospel of all sins forgiven and the resurrection of the body. For Christ is not in the grave. Everyone then, Paul says, who has faith in Christ will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. Romans 10:12. In the name of Jesus, amen.